Good evening. Now tonight, I want to draw your hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus himself. And so, I want to make a comparison between Exodus 33 and 34 with John chapter 1. And I this is the result of some musings. Is this on? Oh, it's all on. Okay, is it better? Okay, good. So this is just the result of some studies I did myself. I actually studied a word which is found in this chapter, and we're going to look at that a little bit, and that's the Hebrew word chesed. Chesed. Anybody ever heard of that word? Chesed. Chesed. Some people say chesed, but it's actually chesed. You don't have to have a cold for that to say that, but it's the found in Exodus 34 in verse 6, where it is translated goodness. But there is not one English word that totally conveys the meaning of that word, and so it is translated with goodness, kindness. It could be looked at as covenant loyalty. Steadfast love, that's how some translations often give it. Mercy and grace. And so this concept is a very prominent thought in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And so we're going to look at that a little bit. And we saw when we studied Mark's Gospel that the Mark's Gospel is much linked to the book of Isaiah. Well, John's Gospel is much linked to the five books of Moses. And so tonight we'll just look at that, and I only have 20 minutes, so I tend to be lengthy, but I figured out that this is going to require a second message, and we'll do that sometime down the road. So Exodus 33, and we'll read some verses there. So this is right after the golden calf, what we found there in chapter 32, and this is what it says in verse 5 of chapter 33 of Exodus. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Then verse 10, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34, verse 1. Then, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. And then he has to go to up to the mountain, the Mount of Horeb. And then it says in verse 4 at the end, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Verse 5, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Verse 10, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. And then John chapter 1, and we're more familiar with that book than with Exodus, I would say. John chapter 1. And I'll start reading in verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So, if you go back to chapter 34, verse 6 says about the Lord that he is abounding in goodness and truth. And that corresponds, that phrase corresponds with chapter 1, verse 14 of John, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, some people think that in verse 17 of John 1, that there is a contrast there between the law in the Old Testament and it's all about grace in the New Testament. Well, that's a little too simplistic. So, some translations, like the New King James and the King James, they give you the word but. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But the word but is in italics. And so if you read Exodus 33 and 34, there is lots of grace there. The grace of God is all over the place. Imagine, the law had not been given by Moses, and they already broke the first two commandments in chapter 32 with the golden calf. And God shows grace. And Moses is so overwhelmed about God's grace, when God says, I will go with you. You have found grace in my sight. And Moses is so overwhelmed that he says, show me now your glory. Why does he say that? Because he is overwhelmed with God's grace, having seen his holiness. And God says, no man can see me and live. And we found that in John chapter 1, 2. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. What then is the difference between Exodus and John 1? What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in relation to the glory of God? In the New Testament, the grace of God is embodied in the Son. Embodied in the Son. It's not that God didn't show grace in the Old Testament. Now, he did give the law. The law was given by Moses at this same event. And I think that John, in John chapter 1, is referring back to that time. The law was given by Moses. That's what happened at this time. And so the law required obedience. And of course, we know the whole story of the Old Testament that didn't happen. But God showed grace. And so if God wants to show his chesed, his goodness, God has to be gracious all the time. In order to show his covenant love, he has to show grace all the time. And so that covenant loyalty of God continually comes out in that grace and mercy that he extends to the Jews, to Israel, and also to us. But in the New Testament, you see, this is what kind of made me think a little bit about this, what we have studied in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, we saw that God is just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Well, how can God show grace? There has to be a righteous basis that is true to God's character and to God's attributes. And we saw that is all in the work of the Lord Jesus. And we see that also in John chapter 1. Because John also shows him as the Lamb of God. And so that's also a gift of God's grace. We see there in the Lamb of God the righteous basis where we see truth and we see grace. It was God's love and grace that sent his Son. But it was God's truth, God's righteousness that made it necessary for him to die. And so you see that grace of God both in John's Gospel and in the book of Exodus. Now, in Exodus 33, verse 18, Moses asks to see God's glory. What does John say? We beheld his glory. This chapter, you know, sometimes Muslims say, well, you know, there's not one text that actually says Jesus is God. No, but the eye of faith, the eye of that is in tune with the Lord Jesus, sees the deity of Christ all over the scriptures, and more specifically in the Gospel of John. We beheld his glory. Moses experiences God's grace. That's what we find in chapter 33, verse 12. If I have found grace in your sight, he says. Verse 13, he says, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. Verse 17, God says, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Again in verse 19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Chapter 34, verse 6, same thing. Gracious. Verse 9. It says there, if now I have found grace in your sight. So grace is all over the place. But what do we see in John 1? Of his fullness. That is, of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. Or grace upon grace. And so that's how we live our lives. We live by grace. And we see it fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Now, there are another few concepts that are found both in Exodus 33 and 34 and also in John 1. We see there the presence of God. Moses asked for God's presence to go with him, with them. If you don't go with us, Lord, don't make us go up from here. And so God promises that, my presence shall go with you. And I will give you rest. What do we find in John 1? Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's the word. Most of us know this. Tabernacled among us. He dwelled among us, John says. Dwelled among us. Then we find there the word know. Now the word know, that's a major word in John's writings. Moses says, yet you have said, in chapter 33, verse 14, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. And so the idea of knowledge is not just information. That's what it means nowadays in our society, information. But knowledge in Scripture is usually linked with relationship. And so John picks up that he does the same thing in 1 John. What does it say about spiritual fathers? Only one thing. They know him. Know him. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Not just as your Savior, but do you know him as the glory? As the glory. As the object of all God's delight. Is he the one that is the object of your worship? That's the question. Moses then also speaks, this chapter we read two times, that Israel is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. Well, that hasn't changed yet in the New Testament. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They're still stiff-necked. And we're actually reading the Gospel of John with our family. And all through the Gospel of John, you see there the unbelief of the people. The first three Gospels, they go through a series of events that eventually shows that that Israel rejects, or at least the leaders, reject the Messiah. But John starts off right from the get-go. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. They did not receive him. Stiff-necked people. It hasn't changed. Then notice exactly what happens right after in Exodus 33. God says, while he's still on that mountain, behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth. What do we see in John's gospel? In John's gospel, it's not just miracles. There's a different word used. It's the word signs. And John uses seven specific signs before the cross and one after. There's one miracle after. Seven signs. God also, through the Lord Jesus, showed marvels such as have not been done in all the earth. And so you see that in both John's gospel and also in Exodus, in the book of Exodus. God showed miracles. And you know this, then in the rest of Exodus 34, God mentions to Moses that three times a year they had to go up to Jerusalem for the feasts. There were three feasts that lasted 7 days. Feast of Unleavened Bread in verse 18, the Feast of Weeks in verse 22, and the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles in verse 22. Three feasts. What do we find in John's Gospel? The whole book of John, most of it, is structured around the feasts. It's amazing. Christ is the fulfillment of all these feasts. What a wonderful Savior we have. Now, I just want to finish with this two verses from Psalm 40. And that's where I will pick up some other time when I will hope to show you a few things from the New Testament about this concept of chesed, goodness, grace, covenant loyalty. This is what it says.